It's the confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. On Saturday, the Pennsylvania Department of Health reported another 4,035 cases of COVID-19 for the previous 24 hours, another record high. Dr. Rachel Levine is the Secretary of Health for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Secretary Levine, welcome back to the Confluence.
Thank you. Pleased to be here.
Dr. Levine, we've been breaking daily records regularly recently. Are we worse off than we were in the early days of the pandemic?
Well, we are certainly in the midst of our fall resurgence, which we have been talking about for months and preparing for months. We are reflecting the case counts that are being seen throughout the United States. The numbers we are seeing are, as you pointed out, higher than we saw in the spring. But we are actually, from a preparedness point of view, better off than we were in the spring.
Are we seeing more positives because testing has increased, or is the rate of positivity also increasing?
The rate of positivity is increasing. So you are correct. We have well over 40,000 test results coming back per day, which is significantly more than we could do in the spring. But that is not the reason why we're seeing more cases.
Pfizer released an early analysis of its COVID-19 vaccine trial. It's a two-dose vaccine, and it showed positive results, according to the drug maker, which plans to request emergency authorization later this month. That means by the end of the year, we could have some people able to be vaccinated. First of all, your reaction to that news?
I think this is a very promising finding. So we're very encouraged about the results from the Pfizer vaccine. And the Pennsylvania Department of Health has been working for months now to prepare for the distribution and administration of a safe and effective vaccine or vaccines when they are authorized by the FDA.
So when would the state vaccine infrastructure be ready, not for just frontline workers, the people who are dealing with the most susceptible, but really for the general public? How could you put that infrastructure into place? How quickly?
Well, we are putting that infrastructure into place now. We have developed our vaccine plan. The executive summary is available on our website. What we've heard from the CDC and Operation Warp Speed and the federal government is that the vaccines will come out in three phases. The first phase, it seems like it's going to be this Pfizer product, will be released primarily for healthcare personnel in this maybe stage 1B vaccine for those seniors in nursing homes and other facilities. And then there'll be phase 2 and phase 3 as we roll out the vaccine to the public.
Best case scenario, when do you think the general public might be vaccinated, or at least the start of the vaccination of the general public?
I think that in 2021, there will be certainly vaccine for the general public. I can't say whether that's going to be, you know, mid-spring, late spring, or early summer. It depends upon the rollout from the federal government.
Dr. Levine, last week you said the Wolf administration is not considering another shutdown. Instead, you'd focus on the containment strategies like the testing, the isolating of positive cases, and other measures. Numbers are surging, which seems to indicate that the containment strategies might not be enough. So why not reconsider another shutdown?
Well, we are not considering a shutdown like the red, yellow, green protocols that we put in place in the spring. But I would like to highlight, there are three ways to address the pandemic. One is containment, the testing, the contact tracing, et cetera. The second is mitigation. And then the third is the vaccine. For mitigation, we do have mitigation orders in place. We have a universal masking order for those who are in public, indoor and outdoors. We still do have limitations on indoor dining at 50%. We still do have limitations on indoor and outdoor gatherings. And so we need to encourage people to follow all of those guidelines and all of us work together and stand united.
So do you see, instead of a shutdown, maybe more stringent or additional mitigation efforts?
Right now, we are going to focus on containment. We're going to focus, as I mentioned, on the mitigation orders that are currently in place. We want to work with the public and encourage the public to answer the call and to stand with us.
Dr. Levine, we saw growth in case spread among young adults. University of Pittsburgh just issued a shelter-in-place order recently because of a rise in cases there. Do you think more effort needs to be made when it comes to students and universities to mitigate spread?
Yes, and we have been and will continue to work with universities and colleges throughout the state to stop the spread on college campuses. But what's different now than it was in September is those students and those institutions were primarily driving the increase that we saw, say, in September. The increases we are seeing now are in every sector of every county in Pennsylvania. And that is why I know it's really challenging, but we're calling on people to avoid even small gatherings. And that's going to be particularly difficult as we enter the holidays. But we want really people to celebrate with their households and then to celebrate with more extended family remotely, you know, through Zoom and other types of technology like that.
Are you concerned that college students, however, might take this back home with them for the holidays that you mentioned, Thanksgiving, Christmas, et cetera?
Yes, we are concerned about that, and we'll be working with the colleges on certain testing protocols, and we want colleges and universities to implement those policies to have their students tested so that we know that it's safe for them to go home to their local communities.
According to your department, there are about 1,600 people hospitalized in the state with COVID, 345 of those patients in intensive care. Dr. Levine, if cases continue to increase at this clip, at what point will our hospitals be overwhelmed? What are you telling them?
So our hospitals are not overrun at this time, but particularly in the North Central, Geisinger is reporting that they have substantial cases. So we will be working with the hospitals and health systems to make sure that they have the capacity to take care of patients with COVID-19 as that need arises. You know, it usually takes about 2 or so weeks after we see increases where we see more hospitalizations.
As you know, nursing homes were hit so very, very hard in the early days of the pandemic. What's being done that we don't see a repeat of that?
So we have instituted universal testing in all long-term care living facilities. That includes nursing homes, but also personal care homes and assisted living facilities, including regular universal testing of the staff. But I'd like to highlight a program. That's the Regional Collaborative Program. This is a very innovative program through legislation signed by the governor this summer, which really has the Department of Health and the Department of Human Services working with fantastic health systems throughout our state to work on education and infection control measures in these facilities, to work on staffing and PPE in the facilities, and to really actually enter the facilities and work with them to prevent the spread among our most vulnerable seniors. The threat is its funding. The funding will end by the end of the year. We call upon Congress to pass further CARES Act funding and then the state legislature to authorize more funding for this regional collaborative program. Nothing is perfect. We know that the prevalence of COVID-19 in the facilities reflects the prevalence of COVID-19 in the communities and counties where they're located. But this regional collaborative program is really our best effort and best chance to protect those seniors.
Secretary Levine, as cases surge, deaths are often not that far behind. Do you think we'll see the same increase from earlier in the pandemic, spring and summer?
We are starting to see a small increase in deaths, but I don't think that we're going to see the same rates of tragic deaths, as you mentioned, that we saw in the spring. And that's because the medical care is much better. This is a novel or new coronavirus. No one had ever seen it before. The medical care has been much more sophisticated. In addition, we have therapeutics. We have treatments. And we are hearing that the FDA pretty soon will be authorizing and giving at least an emergency use authorization to what are called monoclonal antibodies. And that's the type of medicine that President Trump received for his treatment.
You said in your press conference last week there was a reluctance from people to answer questions from contact tracers. What's giving you indication that people aren't answering the questions honestly?
Because a lot of times they're not answering the questions at all. We'll be reporting that again today in today's news conference, that we still need people to answer the call. We need them to answer the phone. when they see that it's the Pennsylvania Department of Health or our county municipal health partners.
Dr. Rachel Levine is the Secretary of Health for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Secretary Levine, thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. The very top of the Democratic ballot in Pennsylvania was successful in Tuesday's election, with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris victorious. However, down-ballot candidates, maybe not so much. Nancy Patton Mills is the chair of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. Good to talk with you again.
Thank you very much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Nancy, did Joe Biden have any coattails in Pennsylvania?
Well, from what we're able to see, I would say no. But we are still working on the numbers. We're still looking at our positives and our negatives. I've talked to people all over the country. I have friends who are chairs of other states. And the one thing that we are all talking about is how many people we lost down ballot. Mm-hmm. So there is no question that we have suffered here in Pennsylvania, and we have a lot of work to do. But this was a unique situation, very unique, and we did so much work for everybody. We made sure that we had a coordinated campaign separate from the president's, and we had full cooperation from Senator Bob Casey and the governor and everyone to help elect down ballot races. But we did lose some, and we're very disappointed about those. But we also blame it on gerrymandering. There is no question about it that gerrymandering is still having an effect on many of these races that we had hoped to flip. So we're very disappointed in that. But we're looking at the positives also,
right?
And that is that we have a Democrat president now.
Last time we spoke to you, you said you had sort of strong down-ballot races that could actually help lend support to the statewide races and to Joe Biden. Were you wrong or what?
Well, I think what happened was, first of all, we had 16 counties in Pennsylvania that outperformed 2016. Now, I'm still crunching those numbers, so I can't be very, very specific. But Erie, for example, Erie increased their numbers for Joe Biden, but did not elect those down-ballot races. So there was a lot of splitting going on. I think some of the people we brought back into the fold were Republicans, and they voted only for Biden. So I think that I just am as baffled as everyone. We couldn't have worked harder. We couldn't have had better candidates. But I think that once we get these maps redrawn, that we are really, really going to be in good shape.
Over the weekend, incumbent Congressman Connor Lamb, who was declared the winner on the 17th, exchanged words with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, one of the most liberal members of the U.S. House. She was bringing up divisions as Joe Biden was talking about unifying the country. Some local Dems were also exchanging words about whether defunding the police and opposing fracking was hurting the party outside the usual liberal strongholds. Are you concerned about divisions within your party?
Well, we've always had divisions within the party. And every election that I've ever been involved in, there's always been someone who didn't appreciate another faction. My position as the chair of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party is to make sure that all factions are represented. We have people working for the party that works for Bernie Sanders and those who work for Joe Biden. We made sure that we were not that kind of party in Pennsylvania that, first of all, we don't condemn somebody because they have a different position than we do on an important issue. So what we do is we listen, we discuss, and we build from there. And I didn't see Connor's comments. I wasn't aware of those. I heard after the fact. And he is entitled to have an opinion. He's a U.S. congressman. And he won in his district. He won because the people who vote in the 17th voted for Connor Lamb. So that's important. I think all these voices are important. I mean, we cannot just be stagnant as a nation and never, ever change.
It looks like Republicans will control the legislature when it's time to draw the new congressional district lines after that census data comes out. In 2010, when this happened, it created a huge GOP majority in the Congressional Caucus, and it took years and a Supreme Court ruling to change. What's to prevent that from happening again?
Yes, I think that we did fine, though. As soon as the maps were drawn fairly, and if you remember, of course there was a lot of discussion about it, but Governor Wolf wanted to make sure that those maps were drawn fairly and not just Democrat maps. And I think that's what we have to get away from. The people are sick of this. They don't want a Republican map. They don't want a Democratic map. They want a fair map for their district so that they actually have a choice when they go in to vote. And I think when these maps are redrawn, that these considerations have to be made or people are going to lose their seats. So I'm hopeful that everyone looks the maps that we got for Congress and how well that worked. 9 and 9. Think about that. We were 5 out of 18. Now we're 9 and 9. So fair maps make fair, balanced playing fields. And I think that went a long way toward us electing the president also.
Finally, this was the first presidential election that did not include a straight ticket voting option, which was eliminated in 2019 with the expanded mail-in legislation. Do you think that led to more split-ticket voting in the state and maybe hurt some of your down-ballot candidates?
It may have. And the one thing that we did know that after they passed Act 77, the Republicans actually did better with straight party voting in that time frame than the Democrats. So I thought, well, when they passed that may have been the right decision when the governor made that compromise. We were very skeptical about what would happen. We didn't know because we've always voted straight Democratic Party. You know, that's been one of our things that we've always said. We're going to be analyzing that. I don't know that it helped, and I'll tell you why. Because the Republicans that voted for Trump the first time voted straight, and they won. We voted straight at the same time, and we lost. So the only thing that's different here is that we didn't have straight party voting. So I think that the vote by mail elected Joe Biden, and the sacrifice, of course, was the straight party vote. And we will definitely be looking at those numbers also.
Nancy Patton Mills is the chair of the Pennsylvania Democratic Party. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very, very much. Good day.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at WESA.FM/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Helen Wigger, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Julia Zenkovich, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.